I'm going to begin reading there from verse number 31. You've already been well paid for your presence here. We've sung "Abide with Me," that's worth a great deal. And we've sung "Oh to Be Like Thee." And singing may not be too well, but it's certainly truthful and it helps. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate the opportunity to teach the truth one more time. The Bible says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men." Most serious sin that Jesus brought up was a sin that meant to speak against. It was a sin of the mouth. But you cannot have a sin of the mouth if you don't have a sin of the heart. Well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so it is a serious thing. Your speech is as serious as anything you do. The Bible teaches that very, very plainly. Matthew 12:36. "By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Young people today, many of them, I'm going to say many of them do well, the ones I know, but many of them are very careless and rude and violent in their speech. And sad thing about that, old folks are not much better. When I was working on the market, which I worked, I hadn't been there, they fired me. I reckon I was doing too good a job, caught the business up. But anyway, it was amazing when some of those ladies would come down there. And two or three times, a man as gentle and kind as I am got cursed by ladies. And, you know, I don't think I actually deserved it. But I took that, brought my pay home, and thought, well, I've earned that today. And so here's what it says. "Whosoever shall speaketh a word against the Son of Man, but whosoever shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Now, I don't have time to explain all that to you, but the meaning of that is that if you speak against Jesus, you had a chance, even if you crucified him, to be forgiven. If you speak against the Holy Ghost, that's a written word, and that's the last time you're going to get the truth, and you won't have an opportunity to straighten that one out. "Either make the tree good and its fruit good." Don't try to talk both ways. People have two different kinds of speech. One they use around their kids, and one they use around the work people. Or one they use here, or one they use there. That is hypocrisy. And God, that's exactly what God considers it to be. And then it says, "You either make the tree good or the fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit." Jesus said, "O generation of vipers." Now, I've said some harsh words while I was preaching, but I've never called anybody a bunch of snakes. My Lord said, "O you bunch of snakes." I just tell you what he said. "How can ye, being evil," Jesus said they were evil, "speak good things?" You cannot speak good things being evil. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things." Somebody said he's got to be talking about real serious things like murder and like robbing banks. No. "But I say unto you," that's when the next word we looked before, "that every idle word," that means useless word. Doesn't necessarily mean curse word. It just means you throw that out there and misused it, done more harm with it than you should have. "They shall give an account of thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned." Our lesson tonight, what the book of James teaches about the word and the tongue. Now, I know that you think that's unusual. All Bible students say think there's only two things in the book of James. One of them is faith and the other is works. But I contend to you that there is a lot in the book of James that has to do with the tongue. Now, when God talks about the tongue, He talks more about the positive than He talks about the negative. What good will it do me in life if I never speak a curse word? If I never speak against it, any person? If I always tell them good things and encourage them? If I never use my tongue to teach the Word of God, what good will I do? I might be perfect in the use of my tongue and just not use it. And so God has given me a useless tongue. If you have $1 million and you never use any of it to further the gospel of Christ, in God's sight, that is an idle $1 million. It's worthless. If you have a tongue that you've never used, try to encourage your brother and sister in Christ. Try to teach your children and your neighbor. God says you've misused it. And so I want to talk about it. If any of you, verse 5, James 1, 5, lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Use your tongue to ask. Now that's a command of God. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. It's a command. To whom is it a command? To whomsoever the Bible is written. Then the Bible says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Aren't you glad he said that? Now, people misunderstand the Bible because they want to. Jesus said to the apostles, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will give it thee. Paul asked 3 times for God to remove, Christ to remove the thorn in the flesh. And the answer all 3 times was no. And then God told Paul, don't speak to me anymore about that. Put that one up. I don't hear about that one. The answer, my grace is sufficient unto thee. What does it mean if you'll ask it to be given unto you? It means that if you ask it like God means for you to ask it, it will be given you. Study to show thyself approved unto God. If you ask it, study. If you ask it, praying to God. If you ask it, working to God. If you ask it, obeying God. 1 John 3, 20, 21 and 22. Whatsoever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do always those things that are pleasing unto Him. If you want to have a tongue where you can ask wisdom, you've got to be honest in your heart and be seeking wisdom. Are you really trying to understand the Word of God? Have you read the New Testament through in your life? No, the answer is no. Have you ever understood a book you didn't read? I've taught school many years, and those kids got to buying those little old review things, you know, you can buy that tells you the story of a book. And I got where I could see them 40 miles off. And I would just call them in, and I'd say, I know where you got this. And many times I'd been teaching it long enough, or if you teach some 4 or 5 years, you got your file. I said, come out right out of here. I knew what was going on. They never read it. What have you ever understood that you didn't read unless somebody else explained it to you? Nothing. And so let him ask of God in faith and nothing wavering. And so that's what the Bible says. God says use your mouth, use your to ask, and then of course ask as God has told you to ask. Number two. I'm looking at verse 18. Of His own will, He begot us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Now, God said Christians are a new creation. He started over, spiritually speaking. Wherefore, because of what I just told you, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I don't know. I know that my wife knows that I speak way too quickly in all kinds of situations. I just I do that, and I don't think that's a good trait. In fact, I know a lot of times it was a good wasn't good, because that preacher said, "Do you promise to love this wife, all your woman, all your life?" And I just said, "Yes, yes, yes." And I should have given a little more thought to the situation. But no, seriously speaking, most people get in the habit of answering you before you get through. I just hate to start to ask somebody something, and before I get through asking, they already answered me. And I know they can't read my mind because it's not there. And so they didn't get it that way. Slow to speak. Do you ever think about what you're going to say? Well, I think if you preached, you would. You probably still wouldn't do it as good as you want to. Now the Bible teaches us that we ought, in the book of James, that we ought to be very slow to speak. But I must get on because time is going. Verse 26 of chapter 1. If any man among you seem to be religious and bribeth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. By the way, that's also true of a woman. I've often wondered why that didn't say, if any woman among you, because it seems to me it applies to women just as much and maybe just a little bit more. But anyway, if anybody that seems to be religious. Now, suppose I give all my money to the Lord's church. And suppose I work day and night for the Lord's church. And suppose I run off at the mouth and don't control my tongue. Will I go to heaven? This is saying you might as well forget it. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is to visit the Father with us in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You're spotted by the world. Any man bribeth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart. You know the reason? If you talk a lot, you ain't got time to listen to yourself talk. You don't know what you're saying. And you deceive your own heart. This man's religion is vain. This teaches us that it don't make any difference how religious you are. If you haven't got control of your tongue, you're wasting your time if you think you're going to go to heaven. You young people listening to me, I hope you are, because it's absolute truth that I am teaching you. Well, let's look again. Then we look again, and the Bible says in verse 12, "So speak ye." Now, this is the way we're supposed to talk. This is a positive way to talk. "And so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." The law of liberty is the New Testament. "So speak ye and so do." You should make statements that sit with the truth and not against the truth. It just hurts me down deep in my bones to hear a Christian say, and I've heard a few say, "I don't think there's anything wrong with instrumental music in worship." Brethren, that is an addition to the Word of God. And if you add to the Word of God, God will add to you the plagues written in the book. You can mark that and off. Their heart is not right with God. And I want to say this kind as I know how. When one says one church is as good as another, he is not speaking as one that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Because the Bible plainly teaches there's one church. If you'll show me two churches in the Bible, I'll eat the Bible. Now, I know you say there's the churches of Christ. There's the seven churches of Asia. They're all the same thing. Every one of them the same thing. They were the church of our Lord, church of the firstborn, church of God, church of the living God. But they were the one church. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my churches," didn't he? Jesus said, "I am the head of the churches," didn't he? Jesus said, "By one spirit we all baptized into many bodies," didn't he? You don't have to be very sharp and listening. No, that's not Bible language. The Bible teaches us there's one Lord, one faith, one body, and the body is the church. So, but you got to go on and on. "So speak ye, and so speak ye as they that be judged by the perfect law of liberty." Whatever you do about attendance, please don't tell anybody that you can forsake the assembly and go to heaven. Now, you may not want to live it, but I hope somebody does. I just as soon to go to heaven unbaptized as go to heaven forsaking the assembly. Same God wrote it all. And I don't mind telling my brethren that, and I won't be ashamed Someone said, well, they don't attend like they ought to. Well, that's the problem with God. It ain't my problem. I've been preaching that ever since I started preaching. I'll die preaching that if I don't lose my mind first and don't say anything. I don't want you to admit what's going on right now. But you got to speak like you're going to be judged with the perfect law, the Word of God. You've got to bring your mind and your heart, which will bring your speech, into harmony with the Word of God. And then again, the book of James teaches that the key to gaining self-control is not to join a group that you're going to talk about how you can quit this kind of thing or pick up this kind of habit. It's not that. I wouldn't say that you ought not join all of them, but I take all of them with a grain of salt. I don't mind counselors. I just don't agree with most of them. When I went to UT to get my master's, I'll tell you that because you don't think I got one. But when I went there to get one, I went to school there, and of course they spent their whole time trying to teach me how to counsel. And that at that time, the indirect method of counseling was all the bell of everybody used. It came out of Wisconsin or somebody, I forgot the doctor's name now. And they told me you needed to use indirect counseling. Don't never tell anybody what's directly wrong. Ask them, what do you think about it? And I told them, and many of them, I said, I'm not made that way. I'm not going to ask anybody in this world what they think about any moral issue. I'm going to ask God. What do I care what you think about a moral issue? God is the one I've got to answer to. And so I believe in direct counseling. And when I call those girls, high school girls in, I would say to him, there's Joe. You see how he treats his mother. You see he won't get his lesson. You see that he drank some. And you're going to start going steady with him? Now that's pretty direct. And they'd always say to me, but Mr. McConnell, he'll change. He loves me. And I could never understand why the sweetest girls in White House could choose the most no-account boys that you've ever seen in your life, and one right after the other. I know them now. Most of them are divorced. Most of them are divorced. I believe in being direct. I believe it all my life. If baptism is a burial, it's a burial. Nobody's going to convince me it's a sprinkling of pouring. I believe in being direct. If Jesus Christ is going to be the judge of all men, that's it. I could go on and on, but I must get on a little bit further. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Now perfect don't mean sinless. It means complete. Now, if any man offend not in word, if you can go through life without offending people with your mouth, you are a complete person. You can bridle your whole body. That don't mean that you go through life pretending like a hypocrite and talking this way over here, and talking that way over there, but out of the abundance of your heart, you're speaking, and you don't offend any person. You can control everything else in your body. Now, that don't mean that you've got 100% control. But it does mean the best control man can have, you'll have. 1 Corinthians 9:27, I buffet my body and bring it under subjection, lest after I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. If you want to gain control of your life, start with your mouth and recognize you've got to start with your heart to keep from being a hypocrite. If you sing, oh, how I love Jesus, you sing, oh, how I love Jesus because you love Jesus. And if you can do that, if you can be honest in your speech about what you believe, you can control your whole body. That really says this. You've got to believe the truth, and you've got to speak the truth. There is no deception in you. And that's the way it is. Now, when Daddy asks you where you've been driving the car, and you say, I went to the drugstore, and you don't say, I also went over behind the bleachers and met up with Joe, my boyfriend, for a while, you have told him a lie. Anything told to deceive is a lie with intent to deceive. And that's the way you reason. The judge say, are you going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? That's what your speech must be. And so there it is. And then we go to verse 6. The tongue is a peaceful river with songbirds singing and flowers growing on the banks. Now that's what my brethren believe it says. But my Bible says the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. And it defileth the whole body. You can't just be a little bit defiled if your tongue is defiled. You're rotten from one end to the other. It setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. I don't believe the Bible says nothing like that about any other sin mentioned in the New Testament. Man condemns them plainly and tells you you'll be lost eternally. But listen again, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. That means it runs and is set on fire of hell. Every home will be as peaceful as the husbands and wives' speech is. And not one more peaceable. Not one more. Every congregation will be as peaceable as the members of that congregation speak peace, but not one bit more. The tongue has separated a lot of people in the home and in the church and in the workplace. You've got to be careful with your tongue at the workplace that you don't be misunderstood. And you should not ever say things against your boss. I kept telling my teachers, just tell me to my face. I'd rather you didn't sit behind my back. But I didn't mean that. I had a real good group of teachers. I don't know where they come from. I didn't produce them. But I really did. I had a real good group of teachers. Now, two of them were somewhat hard to get along with. The other one I considered my best friends to this very day. 36 women had 37 bosses, 36 at school and one at home. But you learn a lot of things when you go through that. But the tongue can cause a peace in your home. If you just bite your tongue and shut up and really mean, don't bite it just because you're mad and go spit somewhere else, but overcome that. Don't let that anger take place, but have peace there. And I know my wife's sitting back there, when are you going to start that? Oh boy, we got some changes coming about here. When you're going to, it's hard, but if it's tit for tat at home, it's tit for tat. You can never settle anything that way. And so the tongue, the Bible says, is that kind of thing. Then it says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is a unruly evil full of deadly poison. You've got your mouth full of deadly poison and didn't know it. It'll kill your soul. It'll kill your influence. It'll send your family to hell. You've got your mouth full of deadly poison if you turn it loose. And the tongue can no man tame. Well, what do you mean they can't? The Bible says if any man tame not his tongue, his religion, oh, it didn't say that, did it? It said if any man bridle not his tongue, that man's religion is vain. I don't guess you work mules. But if you work mules, and we had one or two that were so gentle, we didn't have to do that too. But you're not going to work a mule, and you're not going to ride a horse, by the way. I never did see a horse any other way. You're not going to work till you put bridles in their mouth. And when you get the bridle in the mouth, you've got the biggest change you ever seen in nearly every mule. Especially if you've got that kind that splits in the middle and you jerk it back and it cuts the jaw. Some people need that kind of bridle. So when they pull it back, it cuts into the jaw. But the tongue can no man tame, but anybody that doesn't bridle it is going to be lost. That's what the book of James is teaching us. And then, of course, it talks about the inconsistency of the tongue. But I want to get to one or two more points in this before I quit. And that, of course, here's what the tongue can be used for. Therewith bless we God. We can bless God with our tongue. And then the Bible says that we ought not to use our tongue for cursing if we're blessed God. Isn't it something that a man sometime can get up and lead a prayer over the Lord's body and thank God for that and take what remembers the body of Jesus Christ and then walk out the back door and get home before he gets gone? He's already cursing. No wonder he don't have any influence. One thing you can do in life, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to judgment not having said a curse word, if you so mind to. You can do that. You can do that, and you all set that as your goal and get forgiveness if you don't. Now, there's a passage in here which you had time to talk about. There are two kinds of wisdom in this world. There's a wisdom that comes from the earth. And the Bible says, if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Bitter envy and strife in your heart. Do you remember Joseph's brothers? The Bible said they looked at their brother and they could not speak peaceably unto him. That's where it all started. They couldn't speak peaceably to their brother. Then the Bible says that yonder comes that dreamer. Let us put him in a pit. And they decided to put him in a pit. Then the Bible says, here come some traitors. Let's take him out of the pit. And first they wanted to kill him, and they decided to sell him and get some money out of him. But it all started with the fact they couldn't speak peacefully. Can you speak peacefully with your sister? I'm not pointing at anybody particularly. Can you speak peacefully to them? Can you speak peacefully to your husband? When you speak to your husband, you say, sweetheart, would you come and do this? Get in here and get this done! Can you speak peaceably? It all starts with the way you speak. And that's the way you've got to start changing, because that's where when the heart will really change. How can the heart be used? Well, here's the way the heart can be used. This is the last point I can talk to you about. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. That James has recommended, using your heart to pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. He's recommending you use your heart, your mouth, tongues, or sing praises. Don't tell me you can't sing. Some people sing everywhere else but church. They sing everything else but hymns. The Bible didn't even say carry a tune, did it? It just says sing, make a melody in your heart to the Lord. In your heart. You can do the best you can. And then, of course, call for the elders of the church. You can use your tongue to ask people to come and help people in need. And the Bible teaches, of course, that was probably in trying to restore them. And then the Bible says, confess your faults. You can use your tongue to confess your faults. Can you talk? Can you speak? Does your tongue work? How many times have you ever confessed your sins publicly? Maybe you never sinned publicly. I'm not telling you. I'm not your judge in that sense. But I'm telling you this. One sin publicly and zero public confessions equal to hell. We want people to be baptized for remission of sins. Same wording, 1 John 1, 6, 5 through 9, about how you get salvation if you're a Christian. The Bible says there that that's Christ's blood will cleanse them from all sin when they pray about it. And James says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. The tongue is an instrument that you can use to confess your sins and has a part in your salvation. But if you're much of a Bible student, you know that it has a part in the first, with the first obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Acts 8:37. He began the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on the way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. If you've never made this confession, verse 37, you're not ready for judgment. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, our Baptist friends make this confession. I've had several discussions with them. I believe that God, for Christ's sake, hath, past tense, pardoned my sin. That's not the same statement. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is heaven. Not that you confess that you're saved before men. If you've never made that confession, you need to make it tonight, be baptized into Christ upon repenting. Save your soul from your past sin, be added to the church, and confess it the way you live and with your tongue the rest of your life. If you're here and want to obey the first law of pardon, second law of pardon, you need to confess your faults as publicly as they are. If they're not public, you can straighten it up with God or two or three people. That's what the Bible tells you. Just as publicly as they are, you confess your faults and ask God to forgive you. That's the way the tongue, and that's the greatest use. Won't you be glad? Won't you be glad in eternity that you confessed Jesus to be the Son of God and now He's confessing you? Won't you be glad you confessed your sins and He forgave you? Won't you be glad that you sang His praises while you could upon this earth? Won't you be glad that you used your tongue to tell somebody about Jesus? I believe throughout eternity we will remember those that we've talked to about Jesus on this earth. I believe you read Luke 16 carefully, you'll find that out. I believe you'll know that. If you accept the Lord's invitation, use your tongue like I've taught you out of the Bible and make yourself right with God while together we stand and while we sing.